Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with the late, great Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Dave Stoop. And your phone calls today on 1-800-229-3000.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
I'm in a marriage. I just got married 3 months ago, and it's a complete disaster.
I feel like my life is nothing but a rut.
Well, that's good news, because a rut has two open ends. A grave has the ends already filled in.
Boundaries don't have to have timelines. You just simply say, when this behavior ceases, when you get into therapy, when you do the following things, then we will talk.
God's whole program is, when we've been trying it one way, then we try it His way.
Play therapy or drawing, art therapy, that works really well
takes
with children.
Time.
That's what your 30 days of celibacy has brought to light, is that, okay, you can manage this, but boy, he can't.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop.
Now, what's this late, great?
You know what? I am so sorry. I've been thinking about this new Planet of the Apes movie, and I was thinking about the late, great planet Earth, and I just apologize.
It just comes out. No, you don't need to apologize.
Yeah.
It's fun.
But the great part is true, just the late, great. I mean, you're still alive, still kicking, all of that. Appreciate
sometimes we're early, moderate.
Early and moderate.
Yeah, yes. As opposed to late and great.
That is true. That is so true. Well, good to have you guys here with us. You know, I want to mention right off the bat that we've been doing Friday programs, special programs on Friday, theme programs, and we're going to do another one tomorrow on addiction. And on that program will be Bill Moss. We'll be talking about the 12 steps. Dave, you know Bill.
Oh, yeah. He's 91 years old, and he started recovery at 85, and just an incredible man. We had him on one time, and he's just very profound in the way he talks, but just very alive and very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Very knowledgeable.
I mean, he's known every president since they start electing presidents, and he is an amazingly wonderful human being, and it's just great to have him. And so, you know, if you have an addiction question, we're going to be talking about the 12 steps tomorrow. This would be a great time for you to call. Any addiction, we'll talk to you about that. Okay, 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program today or tomorrow. We're going to go right to the phones and talk with Debbie from Atlanta, Georgia. Hello, Debbie.
Hey, Steve. Good to talk to you, although I must admit I am a little nervous.
Okay, well, that's all right, Debbie.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Just
Atlanta's
breathe
very,
deeply and relax.
Atlanta is a very special city to me. That's where we adopted Madeline over 20 years ago.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. And it sounds like she's turned out to be delightful.
Oh, she is.
She really is.
If there's a word more than delightful, it's her.
Yeah. That's her.
They're lovely.
That's wonderful. Yes.
So how can we help you, Debbie?
Well, Steve, I was listening to a show back in August, and there was a woman who called by the name of Sonia, and she was relaying a story to you about her marriage and how she was in a 10-year marriage, was unhappy, and you know, the grass was looking greener on the other side of the fence.
Yes, I remember.
A previous relationship, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, as I heard that, my heart was pounding because I just felt the need to just reach out to her and kind of almost shake her and say, that's my story. That's where I was 7 years ago, thinking it was the perfect thing, that God had put me and my affair together intentionally. He felt the same way. And now here we are 7 years down the road and just struggling in our marriage.
Oh,
goodness.
Mm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of wanted to warn Sonia, but you also need help for you.
Well, yes, that, and just warn anyone out there who thinks that the affair is a perfect thing and it's a perfect relationship. You truly are idealizing each other when you're in those early phases of la-la land.
While we go to a break, I'd like for you to
thank you.
Think about, Debbie, what you thought about this man, this affair, before you ended up marrying him, and we'll just look at this idealization a little bit and see if some people can connect with it. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program, 1-800-639-5433. If you need some help, we want to help you.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Debbie, who was listening to us talk about or talk to a woman who wanted to leave her husband and marry the long-lost boyfriend that was so wonderful. I asked Debbie to tell us about, before she married her affair, what were you thinking about him?
Well, we worked together for quite a few years, and I thought, first of all, let me, because he's probably listening, we both listen to your show, let me just say, I do love him dearly, and I will make this marriage work, and I am committed to that, because I don't want him to fear or fret.
Yeah.
But I recognize it will be a long road, but we're going to make it work, and we will grow old together. But
you thought it was going to be pretty quick and easy, didn't you? Not a long road.
Oh, absolutely. I think he thought I was the perfect woman for him and that he was the perfect man for me. I thought he was outgoing, an extrovert. I thought he was a go-getter, like the type that would climb the corporate ladder and achieve a lot and be like the first in line to volunteer and liked excitement and adventure. And he's really quite the opposite of all of those things. Hmm. He's very much an introvert, which is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that I idealized him because an affair is so passionate and romantic and exciting. And the butterflies were going and the heart is beating all the time. And you've got all these endorphins going that you just see the good in the other person. And even when there's red flags, I chose to overlook them and not address them at the time, thinking those things would all take care of themselves because we're in love.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And not only were we in love, but we're both Christians. And we're both, we were both going through a divorce at the time, but neither of us, our divorce was not final, nor had we been separated from our previous administrations, as we call them, for a significant amount of time. It had been under a year.
Hey, Debbie, what would you have done different then? When you felt the attraction, you know, people feel attraction, so you're in that. So what would you counsel, you know, everybody else to do once you feel that attraction? Before you get involved.
If I had to do it over again, I would have taken the time after my divorce to just spend time with my son and not date for many a years. And if I didn't have a child, then I would have given myself at least one full year of just self-awareness and self-study and learning from the mistakes that I had made in my previous marriage.
Might have been a good idea to do that even if we have a son.
Yeah. Right, but yes, but I would have, yes, true, that as well. But what I mean is, if I, with my son, I would have given myself an indefinite amount of time to not date.
Longer time.
Until maybe he could, longer amount of time.
Hey, Debbie, did things change once the affair was public and people knew about it? Did things change between you and him?
It was different. I think most people were very happy for us because they knew we had been in unhappy marriages previously.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people found out about it, I think they all sort of rallied around us and were very excited about it for us.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't get to experience that then of all of a sudden having some reality in the situation rather than just the idealization.
Here's some reality. What do you think he thought of you that was idealized, and what is the reality now?
I think he thought I was that an outgoing, passionate, loving, kind of scatterbrained, not quite so perfectly put together type of woman that he thought he would be in love with. But as it turns out, I am all those things, and those are the things that kind of bug him about me the most, that I, you know, I don't shine my shoes, and I don't pick up all the kids' toys at the end of the day. I don't make a good meal every night for dinner. Sometimes he gets cereal.
Yeah. All right. So, I think you've made your
early
point
on
so
in
well.
Marriage, he would thank me for pouring him a bowl of cereal because his previous administration wouldn't even do that. But now I think he resents it.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because
you've made the point.
Our faults come out more. It's easier to see our flaws, and we need to be, I think, Steve, you said this, happily incompatible.
Yeah.
And that's what we're working on right now.
Good. Well, stay the course, stay committed, and God can redeem these things.
Debbie.
Yes.
You said he's listening right now?
Yes.
All right, I want you to, I got a challenge for you.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, I'm listening. I'm starting to cry, but I'm listening.
All right, try not to cry.
Okay.
And say, here's one thing in the next 48 hours I want to change for you because I love you.
Okay. Here's one thing in the next 48 hours I'm going to change for you, honey, because I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make sure all of the baby's toys are picked up off the floor when you walk in the door.
Yay, Debbie!
All right.
Well, that should help him to change what he needs to change, too. So you took the first step, and you're a good person. Yeah.
And Debbie, be sure it's his favorite cereal.
There's always plenty of options in the pantry. We are a cereal family.
All right. Okay.
We always say we should buy stock in General Mills.
That's great.
We did go to a marriage weekend together. Not a marriage weekend, but a one of your New Life weekends together.
Yeah.
And it has been a turning point for us. And we did walk away with tools, and it's the reason why we really want to stay committed and make this work.
I'm glad you're doing it.
I'm going to send you a Rescue Your Love Life to help you guys stay on the journey.
Well, and I want to send you Just Us, the devotional for couples, because it's like a marriage enrichment course.
There you go.
Amen.
13
all right. weeks. Debbie, thanks for your phone call.
Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. God bless
you
all.
God bless you there.
Wow, it's so nice to hear somebody, I'm not glad for Debbie's pain, nobody is, but it's so nice to hear somebody who's on the other end of that say, hey guys, you know, watch the idealization.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, you really can't say you know someone until you know the dark parts, and if you say they don't have any, you need medication.
Yeah. And when you're thinking, you know what, this is not going to wear off, this feeling, this fascination, I'm the exception, not going to wear off. Let me tell you something. You're going to be doing push-ups from under the rug. it's going to wear off.
You know, usually in an affair, there's a very strong attraction that gets strong. And what they have found, that the people who research the different kinds of love are saying, you know, if the attraction's too strong, you know, it's like on a scale of 1 to 10, if it's an 8 or a 9, you got problems between you. Because what's drawing you together are your issues, but because you idealize, you're not seeing those issues.
Mm-hmm.
And if your attraction's like a 1 or a 2, you're not going to get drawn together, so you're not going to have an affair with that person. So affairs are dangerous because for a number of reasons, but one additional reason is the attraction's too strong, and that means the issues are going to be strong. And that's why a lot of them don't make it. They don't even get married once it goes public.
Sooner or later, the xylocaine wears off.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk with Kathy from Cincinnati, Ohio. WAKW is the station. Hello, Kathy.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Okay, I have a problem. My husband is very ill with cancer, and I'm really mad at God. It's not fair, and I'm so irritated. And I have three young adult children, and two of them are getting married like within the next year or two, and I'm not sure that they're doing this quick enough, but I don't know if I should hustle them a little. And
why would you want to hustle them?
Well, because I don't think my husband's going to live that long.
Oh, you want him to attend the wedding?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. How can we help you? What's your question for us?
Yeah.
I guess the question is, like, is it okay to be this mad at God? Like, we go to church every week, and I just sit there and I pick apart the things in the scripture that are in the bulletin, or things that just, like, or how it says, like, pray unceasingly and things like that, and, like, how people get healed, but my husband's not getting healed. And
Do you read the Psalms, Kathy?
Sometimes. I have daily Bible readings, and, like,
okay, why don't you
New and Old Testament,
why don't you put those aside for a while and read the Psalms? Because David, there's so many of the Psalms where David is just really angry with God.
I'm reading Psalm 88 right now.
Okay, read it.
He goes, I'm as good as dead. They've left me among the dead. You've driven my friends away. You've thrown me in the lowest pit. Are your wonderful deeds any use to the dead? I beg for your help. He's like saying, what's going on here, God?
Yeah.
I'm really upset with you.
But then how does it end?
88's the only one that doesn't end well.
Oh, then that's right.
The rest of them,
he ends up by coming back and just affirming God's goodness, God's sovereignty. But he's free to express his anger at God. God's self-esteem doesn't get injured when we're angry with him, as long as we don't let go of him. That's the key. Healthy anger holds on to the person, and healthy anger with God holds on to God. And David does that in the Psalms. Just skip Psalm 88. Don't read that one.
No, it's a good one. What we're saying is,
I know.
There's nothing. There's no theological point that we can make that's going to help you, but there is scripture that will help you in the experience of your anger and grief, and will connect with you.
I just don't want to be here when something happens to my husband. I have no desire to live.
Well, do you have any women around you that could help you and support you?
I mean, I have a lot. I have friends, and I really like people, so I have a lot of friends. But I'm usually the helper.
Yeah,
Kathy, is that what your husband would want for you if he passed? Would he want you to go away also? If you asked him?
Well, I haven't asked him.
No, I'm asking, you know him, you love him. If you said to him, I'm checking out, if you check out, would he say, that's right, that's what I want you to do?
No, he would want me to be here for our children.
Yeah. My hunch is that you're very attached to him, and that's always a good thing, and you can't imagine life the way it would look, the structure of it without him. But there are many, many factors. His wishes for you, a good life that you can have, your kids, the people you love, your own needs, that I would want you to get help with and stick around here. And when you look how God provides solutions for loss, the one thing you see in all the theological Job sorts of things, you know, we don't understand loss and we don't understand why it's there. The one thing we see all the way through is that God comforts his people with himself, and he comforts his people with his people. And you're going to need comfort. And the only way we get past the anger at God and that you've let me down is comfort.
Mm-hmm.
We would encourage you to be comforted by him and his people. I'm going to send you a copy of my book, Where is God? It talks about the very thing you're talking about, which is, it's not happening like it should, and I don't know why, and where are you?
Kathy?
Yes? Kat,
I want to change your perspective a little bit, too. You hear this radio program, and you hear all the people that hate their husbands and wives, right?
I know. It's like, I can't believe it. Like, I have the best. Okay. I have the best husband.
All right. And you hear people having affairs and all of this. And I am so grateful that you're going to miss your husband so much. That you guys, you, for however you did it, you created a marriage of worth and beauty and a great example to your children. I'm grateful for that for you. And I'm sorry that your husband is not doing well. But I want to tell you this. You've had better years than many people will ever have in any marriage that lasts any length of time. And I'm hoping and praying that at some point you're going to, that little gratitude cell is going to pop up and you're going to say, okay, I'm beginning to see some progress here with my healing. I'm going from anger to that place of gratitude. It won't be easy and it won't be soon, but one day it'll happen.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back and 1 week away. We're 1 week away from the San Jose Women in the Battle Workshop. We're really excited offering this for women that are working through issues related to their husband's sexual integrity struggle. And if that's you, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and come join us in San Jose for Women in the Battle, September 23 through the 25th. Life-changing. All right, let's go back to the phones here. And why don't we talk with Joanne, who's calling from Philadelphia. WFIL is the station. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. How can we help you today?
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm excited to be on the line. I listen to you guys. I'm kind of a newbie listener, so but I think you guys are awesome. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say my question was, I wanted to know, what are the next steps of a wife if you're dealing with an alcoholic/addict husband that does not want help, and the marriage is basically on the brink of divorce? And we're a very young couple. We got married at 18, and we're 24 now. So okay. We've been married for 6 years.
Joanne, can we ask a couple of diagnostic questions? Joanne, can we ask a couple of questions?
Yes.
Okay. How severe is his drinking and addiction, and What have you tried so far that hasn't worked?
The drinking is very severe. He drinks basically every day. And I've tried 4 different marriage counselors, one for the one that deals with addicts and alcohol, you know, one that's like personally for addicts. And I've tried to ask him to go to rehab, and he doesn't want to go.
What happens? What happens when y'all go to the marital counseling?
Well, the last marital counseling, I had called into you guys, and they set me up with somebody next in my area. We was going to him, and we was seeing him, and everything was going good. But then, financially, we it kind of got hard, and he just went back to you know, his old ways. He couldn't really deal with the stress of the finances. So now we are separated. He doesn't live with me. I have 3 young children, and I've dealt with this.
Does he want you back? Does he miss you and want you back, or does he say, "Well, I'd just rather drink"?
I don't know. I mean, I think like, 'cause we go through like back and forth, and I keep trying to deal with, and I put him out the house, and it's just, I don't know where. I mean, right now we're not really talking.
What words does he say, Joanne? What words does he say? Does he say, "I don't want to be married to you," or "I do want to be married to you"? What words does he say?
I believe he wants to be married, and I know he wants to make it work, but he doesn't feel as though he has a problem.
Right.
He doesn't think that he has, he thinks he can control the alcohol. Like, he thinks he can take one drink a day and he's all right, or he thinks he can control it. He don't think that it's really affecting the marriage, which it is.
Most alcoholics don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been to Al-Anon, Joanne?
No.
Okay. That's the next step I would take, is that I would start going. I would find a good Al-Anon meeting, and they're not all good, so you have to kind of try a couple of them, and begin to understand what you're dealing with. You might also go to a speaker meeting, they call them, and you can get that information at an Al-Anon meeting, and you can get that you can get the locations of those by looking in the white pages under Al-Anon and calling them. They'll send you the list of meetings. But you need some understanding of the addictive element of alcohol and what you're dealing with. It's like his mistress, and there's a strong pull there, a lot stronger than you think, and you've got to do some things in a different way than trying to help him, because you're what's called an enabler, and that kind of, you know, that those are the things you'll learn as you go to some meetings. And I would let him know that you're going to the meetings, because there's something about that says, uh-oh, you know, I'm going to be found out, and you're going to get educated. And that's to me, is the first and the major step that you've got to take next before you decide anything about what to do about the marriage.
Okay.
Well, I tell you what I want to do. We've got a great facility, and I want to put you in touch with those folks there, and I want to see if maybe they can give you some help. You know, when you're in an impossible situation, it's intervention. That's the thing that makes the biggest difference. So,
you know, the Bible speaks to what you guys are saying for Joanne. In 2 Thessalonians 3, it says, if a person won't work, they shouldn't eat. Meaning, when a person doesn't listen to love and honesty and compassion, then they've got to have consequences. And so he needs to experience the missing of you and not having a great life. He's got to not eat of the good things Joanne has so that he can say, maybe I need to change. We'll also send you a copy of Boundaries, because Boundaries talks about these principles.
All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back for the second half of New Life Live. Glad you're with us here today. Our resource that we're sending to folks who order it or who support us this month is Difficult Conversations. John and Henry wrote this book A lot of folks have some things they need to say. They don't know how to say it, and this is the book that'll help you do that. We'll be back after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop. Let's talk with Keith from Atlanta, Georgia. WNIV is the station. Hi, Keith.
Hey, how are you guys doing this afternoon?
Great, thank you. What's going on?
There was a caller who called in that I was listening, and I listened to your show. I've been listening to it for about 5 years, and I think you guys are just incredibly outstanding, and the service that you do is going to be recognized when we all stand before the Lord.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome, and I just appreciate it. And I've appreciated more than just lip service. Compliments are good, but funds are better. And I have chosen, as a result of listening to you guys' counsel and just being moved by it, that I will become a donator today. And I want to encourage everyone that listens and hears to donate as well, because what you guys do is just incredible. And it's all for the glory of God. That's the most important thing about it. And I just want to affirm that for you.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
You guys had called, I'm sorry, a caller had called in, and her name is Sonia. And she was in a 10-year relationship and had a previous relationship that didn't come to fruition, got married, and the former relationship had an opportunity to come to pass again, and she was wrestling with either staying in her marriage and or abandoning that and turning to what she saw as the better option.
Right.
And you guys gave just, I'll tell you, it was some of the best counsel that I've ever heard in a short period of time. And collectively, I think you folks really laid it out for her such that whatever decision she makes, it will be affirmed by the counsel that you gave her, mm-hmm. whether it's the right decision that she makes or whether she chooses to pursue that grass that appears greener on the other side. And I'll tell you, it moved me to say, Keith, you've been listening to the show. It's helped you in your own marriage and your own life. And, you know, it's similar to what God said in the Bible. If we love one another and someone comes and says, hey, I need a roof and I need to be fed, it's almost like saying, go and be warmed and filled, but doing nothing to help that. And to listen to your show and not do anything, God just convicted me. You can't tell them to go be warm and be fed if you're not helping to contribute to what they do. So I wanted to affirm the counsel that you gave Sonia, and also just to just tell you that that I have chosen to support you guys. And I'll tell you, I want to say it, and this is not a stage call at all. This is the Lord has just burdened my heart with doing something instead of just listening. He's let me listen for a long while, but now he's challenged me that it's time to do something with regard to your ministry. And I want to affirm that. And anyone who's listening, I want to challenge them to stop receiving from the basket or continue to receive from the basket, but start to contribute to the basket as well.
Boy, thank you, Keith. God bless you, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, wow.
It's our pleasure. I'll tell you, I work for Chick-fil-A, and it's a fantastic company. And,
oh, yeah.
Great company.
And the organization just stands for solid values for all people. You know?
Yeah, it does.
That's the beauty of it.
I'm sitting here looking at a little cow that has Eat More Chicken on it right here in the studio here at WQME. And so we're on the same team here. God bless you, Keith.
Thanks,
sure appreciate
Keith.
You. And hold on, let me send you a copy of Walking Into Walls. I hope you'll like that. All right. Man, that was neat.
Yeah,
let's hear from
wow.
Janet in Dallas, Texas. KWRD is the station. Janet, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
How can we help you today?
Well, first of all, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, according to the Word of God, what the Word of God says about marriage, how do I know when it is time to say the marriage is over? And I am basing my question on the fact that my husband and I have been married for 21 years, will be this coming March. And I have been a devoted Christian most of my life. So has he. We both come from a Christian home. He moved out of our home 2 years ago.
Why did he do that?
The reason he told me and the reason that he shared with our pastor was that he felt that God wanted him to be happy and that he felt that I did not value him. And those are the reasons that he gave me, and those are the reasons that he gave our pastor, whom I immediately sought out for counseling.
Janet, when did you find out there was another woman?
Well, that is a question that my pastor has asked me.
Mm-hmm.
He has asked my husband in my presence, and he has asked me that. My words to him were, Pastor, I don't believe that my husband is having an affair, because I guess in my heart I can't imagine that my husband would do that. I, to this day, I don't know that is the case.
Okay, but that's what a good wife does. She believes in her man, and so I'm, I understand.
It's usually
that.
The case when it's a 21-year-old kind of deal like this.
Well, it's also, it's midlife. It's I want to be happy. And he leaves the house. A guy doesn't usually leave the house unless somebody else is in the picture. And the I want to be happy thing is kind of the mantra of somebody that's attracted to somebody else. But I was just curious about that.
Well, it would almost be for me and for my peace of mind that if that were the case, it would almost help me to exit, according to what God says about the marriage. But he has our senior pastor, which if I called his name, you would know him because he's the pastor of a very well-known church here in Dallas. I have sought out counseling with him and have gone many times. And he led us, my husband and I, to read a book, each of us. And the book was on, related to the role of a woman, the role of a man, and the role of a husband in a marriage. And we were supposed to, share our strengths and weaknesses based on the reading of that book. Well, my husband stopped halfway through that directive from our pastor and refused to read or discuss anymore. And he also said that he would go and talk to the pastor because he didn't feel that he was going to continue, okay, I guess, putting forth any effort.
All right. What's the question for us, though, Janet? Your husband, whether he's having an affair or not, he doesn't want this marriage to continue. What's the question for us?
So my question is, at this point, it's been 2 years, and as I said to the announcer of the person came on the phone, that I have been very devoted. I have been very honoring. I have been very respectful.
Okay. How can we help you then, Janet?
Okay.
I want to help
you.
Do I
seek a divorce?
Mm-hmm. Okay. What does he say about divorce?
Well, my husband said in May of this year that he was going to see a lawyer, and I said, you do whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do. And as of right now today, I have no idea if he has done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or if he has not done that.
Okay. So he went to see a lawyer, let's say, and the lawyer said, well, this is going to cost you a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe he decided not to do the paperwork there on that divorce because he kind of likes the way it is now versus the way it would be settled through litigation.
Perhaps.
Okay. So now, what if that were true? What would you do then? Just wait till he...
For me, that might mean, and that's where I think I'm standing, maybe I look at that as, because in my prayer life and those whom I've asked to pray with me about this situation, maybe that's God's way of blocking something that is not of God, because, you know, what he is seeking to do has nothing to do with what the Word of God says about
him. Janet, I wouldn't tell you to divorce him. I would not tell you to take the initiative, no.
You just don't want to be doing nothing,
no.
Though, right, John?
No.
Hey, but Janet, I want to ask you a question for you to think about as we go on a break. Let's say he divorces you. What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? I want you to think about that, and I'll ask you again when we come back after the break.
And you're okay. Talking about, like, tonight, what would you do with your life? What would you be doing tonight and tomorrow next week?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, our final segment today here on New Life Live. And as I said, tomorrow, great program on addiction. If you got a friend who's in a 12-step program or needs to be, this would be a great time for you to call. And 1 week away from San Jose, September 23rd to the 25th, Women in the Battle. We would love to see you there. If you're struggling with a man who has a sexual integrity problem, this is the place for you. We'll be back right after this.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care. as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. We're talking with Janet. And John, you want to finish up with Janet there?
No, I want to finish up with
okay,
Janet.
Okay, Dave, you want to finish up.
Because
okay.
I asked her a question. I want to know what her answer is.
Okay, and if I'm remembering your question, what would I do tonight?
What would you do with your life if he had divorced you and it was final?
Okay. Well, I would continue to live.
Yeah.
As painful and as hurtful as the process has been, I would ask God to forgive him. Help me to forgive him.
But how would you move on? How would you move on with your life?
I have a career. I'm in a career.
Okay.
So I will continue in that career. I will continue in church. I will continue with my family. I will continue being a friend to his family, which I have been. We have a 17-year-old son. I have a great responsibility for him.
Okay. Now, here's my point that I wanted to make, Janet. I want you to do those things and totally forget about the divorce.
Yeah.
Move on with your life as if you were divorced, but without divorcing, because that I believe is what God wants of your life. Now, if he decides to divorce, then there's nothing you can do. You keep standing for your marriage. If he just kind of lets it in limbo, you're not going to be wondering what's happening because you're building your life. And that's what I want you to begin. I want you to shift your mind and begin to think that way, that I'm moving forward with my life regardless of what he does. As painful as it is, I'm going to build myself a life without him. And if he comes back, wonderful, and you'll be ready for that. If he doesn't come back, you'll be ready for that.
Okay, all right. Okay, glad you called, and let me send you a copy of Walking Into Walls. I hope that will be a blessing to you. Our final caller is going to be Lynn today from Fort Worth, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hello, Lynn.
Hello, thank you for having my call.
Well, certainly, we're glad you called.
Well, I got to hear a couple of people call in earlier today, and I have some concerns about the people not being given biblical counsel, but it was more psychology. And the word doesn't return void, praise the Lord, but our words can return void. So I just wanted to exhort you all to that people need the Word of God and what the Bible says about it. And I heard one word that was used from the Bible, and that one of you referred to praying for them. And other than that, it was just psychology words. And I also want to put into your mind, too, how the woman that came to Jesus grievously vexed for her daughter, who was grievously vexed, and wanted her to be free. And Jesus denied her. It was about the dogs, and even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the table. And he saw her faith, and he honored her, and said, I have not seen such great faith. And so then he, of course, we know, went on and healed her daughter. Jesus called that healing, that delivering her of the evil spirit, he called that the children's bread, and that's only for God's people. In so many cases that you come across may very well be dealing with believers that have open doorways for the enemy to come in.
Now, hey, Lynn, let me say something here. I so much appreciate you being vigilant for the Word of God, and I would like for you. I want to make a request to you. I would like for you to continue to hear the show the next few days. And if you hear us not speaking enough Word of God, please call us back, because I appreciate someone who loves the Bible and knows that it doesn't return void, and we want to be vigilant about that too. So thank you for helping us out.
And especially if you hear anything, because we have so many dedicated Christians that listen, if you hear anything that's counter,
please let us
to
know.
Scripture, let us know. I was just thinking this past week, I probably spent 20 hours in Bible study, but I don't necessarily quote those scriptures when I'm on the air, but I try to provide insight that would result from that kind of study. But if there's ever anything that isn't biblical in any way, we sure want to know that.
You keep up the good work, Lynn. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, and please do consider what the Lord talks about as children's bread. The man that I heard this morning, I understand this is being taped for in September, but what I heard this morning, the man that had the pornography addiction and he got free from it about 6 months ago, I think he said.
Mm-hmm.
And but yet then he revealed how he couldn't forgot the word he used, but he couldn't get over being so down.
He had a confidence problem.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. He couldn't get his confidence.
And we said that he hadn't really gone through a character-building program, that just because he had stopped it didn't mean that he had developed...
A sanctification problem.
Yeah, maturity and character. Did you think that was the wrong way to go with him?
Well, what I was concerned about was referring him to a group work, because he revealed that as a child he was violated by a man.
Mm-hmm.
And when that kind of trauma happens, that's an opening for the enemy of our soul to come in and just wreak havoc. And so that man needs biblical deliverance and freedom from that. And I don't know if you all believe in those things, but they're so real. That God's people, that's how the end times of the horrible things that are going to, it's getting bad now, but it's going to get even worse, and that's going to happen by all the demonized.
Lynn, we appreciate this. However, that's a whole other conversation, because the Bible speaks to many, many ways of delivering people. Some are demonic, some are woundedness, some are sin problems, some are healing problems. It's not always a demon inside, but we take your words to heart, and we thank you very much. I'm going to send you a copy of Henry and my book, How People Grow, which is a biblical look at psychological issues, and I hope you find it helpful.
Yeah. All right, Lynn, thanks for calling us. Anytime anybody hears anything that we say that doesn't match the Bible, well, that's what we're here for, is for biblical counseling, for us to present truth to people, and we want to know any untruth. But we do have a commitment not to say anything just so that Christians would know that we're Christians. We want to help people that are hurting, and I hope that we do that. Well, it's almost time to go. Did you guys notice that? We have a minute and 20 seconds.
That's right. Went fast.
And let me just urge you to join us for Women in the Battle, or join us tomorrow for a wonderful show on addiction with Bill Moss, or call us and get some help at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
And we also want four people to join Club New Life today, right?
We need it. Club New Life is one of the ways that we support this ministry. When you join, we'll send you a Life Recovery Bible, or if you make a one-time gift, I'd be happy to send you this wonderful CD on difficult conversations. I believe Dave and Henry did this New Life Perspective, and we'll get that to you. We need your support. We need your financial support. But we really do need your prayers, too. You couldn't pray too much for this ministry. It's how we have existed since 1988, through the power of prayer and God allowing us to be here. My thanks to Dr. John Townsend, to Dr. Dave Stoop, to all of you that listen and pray for us and support us, thank you. I hope you're going to have a great day, and we will see you right here on New Life Live next time. Now go do the next right thing.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.